Soy Trek. Ding dong, diddle, dee da, da doo da, dee da day. Howdy, you doing?
I'm having a howdy doody day myself, Britt. How are you?
I am a fan, fibulous, fornicastus.
All right.
I'm doing well. How are you doing? Good. Cool.
Yeah, good.
My name is Comrade Britt.
And I am Pat.
This is Soy Trek on the Dumb Idiot Bullshit Podcast Network. Welcome to the bridge. If you would like to support us, please go to patreon.com/dumbidiotbs. That's Dumb Idiot BS. B as in banana and S as in solution. Banana solution. That's all you have to think about. Think about banana solution.
I think the minions, you know, they show that the minions did not help Adolf Hitler, because they made sure to show that, because like that was a big question, because the minions and the minion universe that they helped out whatever villain.
Yes. We have the banana solution.
Exactly. If the minions had actually helped Adolf Hitler, they probably would have had the banana solution.
Mm, very true. That's a very good point. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
We appreciate
You're welcome.
That. No. lots of stuff going on in Star Trek this week. If you don't remember, Star Trek season 5 of Discovery starts Thursday.
Oh wow!
Yeah, April 4th.
We'll be having
I need to binge reviews. The fourth season because I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, you should probably binge that.
Yeah, didn't you peter out on it and not watch it?
I watched the entire four seasons.
I try to watch the first two episodes, but man, like I can't with my phone there. I just get so bored, and like I'm like I just don't care.
I mean, it's hard because I think it suffers from, how TV works now is like everything has to be like a singular arc through 10 episodes.
Right.
And it just gets exhausting dealing with previious Star Trek, with our TNGs and everything, we had some variety, we got to not just deal with like a world ending scenario for 10 long,
but
10
even
long
like
episodes.
So where I tapped out on the first episode is they're like talking to some butterfly people. And
The butterfly episode.
Yeah, right. And they're like, there's this misunderstanding because they have a cat on board, and they're like, "What, you brought a carnivore to our world?" And they try to explain that she's like, "Oh, no, you don't get it. She's a queen." And they're like, "You have a monarch on board? Attack them!" And I'm like, I'm just like, no, looking at my phone now. I'm just I can't do this much anymore. So anyway, lots of Star Trek news this week. Of course, we've got a new season of Discovery coming, so there's lots of news coming out about that. We've got, of course, it was mentioned some more casting decisions and stuff on Section 31 and kind of when it's taking place. And it's going to be taking place like apparently during the lost years between Star Trek TOS and Star Trek TNG.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is very interesting. I don't know how they're going to do that exactly, and it's obviously not going to be about anyone taking down Section 31, so I don't know. I'm pretty...
like, how soon between TOS? Is it taking place after the TOS films?
Yeah, I think so, yes. They say it's going to take place, like, during the Lost Era, which, yeah, refers to that.
Okay.
So one of the writers said, whose last name is Sweeney, said Section 31 was a genuine risk, and says, quote, the concept is almost antagonistic to some of the values of Star Trek. But he saw Section 31 is an opportunity to broaden what a Star Trek project could be while embracing the radical inclusivity at the heart of the franchise's appeal. Which is like radical inclusion. Are we talking about CIA agents? Are we trying to like bring them into the fold of like being acceptable people? Because I don't want that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that's acceptable on any level, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not really looking forward to that. But I guess we'll see what happens there. So anyway, today.
But also, we got to mention. There's going to be an opportunity to see us both live very soon.
Oh, there is. Yeah, yeah. We should probably mention that on the podcast. On May 24th and 25th, is that right?
25th and 26th.
25th and 26th. May 25th and 26th is a Saturday and a Sunday, I believe, mm-hmm. in Somerville, Massachusetts?
Yep, Somerville, Massachusetts.
Which is right next to Boston. Mm-hmm. We are going to be hosting show called Slut Trek.
Yep. Slut Trek Ass Emulation.
Yes, indeed. So this is the second edition of Slut Trek. They had a very successful show last year, mm-hmm. which was just a general Star Trek like burlesque and drag show, and this is going to be the same thing. But we will mm-hmm. be there hosting it and inviting on all the performers and going back and saying great job, giving high fives.
Yeah,
definitely.
Can see it, like tickets are live right now, so yeah, you can if you're in that area or can travel to that area mm-hmm. or you know, come and see us. Come and see and you know, you can see some great performance art and
yeah.
And hopefully laugh, you know.
I'll put the link in our Instagram and I'll put it on our like Linktree or whatever so people can mm-hmm. go and get tickets to that. That should be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
And I'm told we might be wearing scants for part of this.
We will be wearing scants.
So
yes.
If you've ever wanted to see the soy boys up in some scants, now is your chance, fellas.
Yeah, I've got about
ladies.
2 months where I need to really be like working legs, you know, squats and uh-huh. you know, work my butt cheeks out so I can fully fill out those scants.
I just gotta figure out how to tape my dick up because otherwise. It'd be hanging out the bottom of that thing like a grandfather clock, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, you don't want that. You know, you can wear underwear with those.
What's underwear?
Is that like, yeah, yeah.
You want me to wear like panties? What's underwear? yeah, those don't work. Those don't cage the monster, buddy. So anyway, today we are here to talk about Star Trek TNG Season 7 Episode 2 Liaisons.
Yeah, this I forgot what this episode
I
and
totally
then like
forgot
it suddenly
this episode.
Came back to me.
Nah, totally yeah. forgot it. So this episode Season 7 Episode 2 of TNG first aired on September 27th, 1993. It is the 153rd episode produced and released in TNG. This one's written by two people, Jeanine Kerrigan Fauci. Fauci.
Fauci.
Did you hear me? Fauci. and Lisa Rich. And both of them co-wrote Move Along Home and Duet Together and nothing else.
Oh.
So a mid-episode, a bad episode, and a great episode. Which is really just like an interesting resume there. And this one was directed by Cliff Bohl, who did 42 episodes of TNG, DS9, and Voyager altogether, including Best of Both Worlds, The Emissary, Hide and Q, Conspiracy, Cardassians, Defiant, Tuvix, and The Q and the Gray. Truly an iconic Trek director. Done a ton of great stuff. So, ready to dive right in?
Yeah, let's do it.
We open on Worf's face as his doorbell rings and he flusteredly yells for whoever to enter. Enter. It's Riker in a dress uniform, much like Worf, and he accuses Worf of procrastinating. Worf calls it a tactical delay. Riker says he's the one who has to spend 3 days with the visiting aliens, the Iarians, so Worf shouldn't sweat it. Worf complains that his uniform looks like a dress, and Riker calls that an outmoded and sexist attitude, and then tells him he looks great in a dress. Which is this, and he gives this big Riker smile that I've used in a few memes. It's one of the most wholesome Riker scenes anywhere, and I just love that man and what he's doing.
Oh yeah, that was such a fantastic scene. And this is definitely like, you know, definitely for like, yeah, last season sort of camaraderie that they've built up over like the entire series, and and just like this playful banter between them. I thought it was fantastic. And yeah, and just, yeah, and of course we have Riker basically fucking Worf with his eyes.
Yeah, you know, he's like, you know, I know what that Klingon hole does. I bet a boy Klingon does it just as well. We can find out, boy.
Yeah, well, I like that we get to see some growth from Worf in this, because, you know, he goes from complaining, you know, that he has, you know, he's this outfit he's wearing looks like a dress, and then we see, then later, you know, in DS9 we see him, you know, he marries a trans worm.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
he definitely grows in his and his understanding of gender and everything else.
Absolutely. We love to see it. By the way, happy day of trans visibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So Worf and Riker join Picard and Troi in the docking bay, and the aliens disembark their ship. They share pleasantries and introduce themselves as Vovol, the pilot, and Laquelle and Byleth, who are visiting the ship in a cultural exchange that will send Picard to IR in return. Or ER. I don't remember.
Picard,
EIEIR. So Picard assigns Laquelle and Troi and to Troi and Byleth to Riker. But Laquelle is kind, but Byleth wants Worf instead, and he's like, give me this one. It's pretty funny. Picard says that's fine, but Laquelle is curt and asks to be shown his quarters immediately. Picard wishes Riker good luck and departs for ER. So, opening credits at 3 minutes and 35 seconds. Really fun cold open, kind of gives us a flavor of what the episode's about, and also gives us that wonderful, wholesome Riker-Worf moment of wearing a dress.
Yeah,
yeah, really fun.
That's what I like. I do like the introductions they have with the staff, where, you know, Picard's really introducing just how, like, multi-planetary the Federation is, like, you know, how many people have come into it. You know, we have like Worf from Klingon, and, you know, we have a Beta Zed,
and then two white guys.
I do like that introduction. We don't get to see that too often, really.
Yeah, it is nice. Yeah, we don't get to see the dress uniform introduction that often.
I think this is like the first one where we see Crusher and Troi in the dress uniform.
That's a good point. I never really thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they were kind of like, they, you know, typically, you know, Troi didn't really wear Federation uniform anyway until like the later season. So anyway, but so this is the first time we really get to see her in a dress uniform.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So when we return from the credits, we're in 10 forward, and Troi is talking to Laquelle about their itinerary. Laquelle asks if Troi is going to eat, and she says she's going for desserts and explains the concept. Laquelle says his people only eat for nourishment and tries to sell her on the concept of Soylent. He tries some dessert and is absolutely enchanted by the concept of dessert. So they go and eat lots of dessert together. This is the story of how Deanna Troi caused a diabetes epidemic on IR.
That would be funny because, yeah, you definitely see that. Like, I think, like, and there's like a town in Japan that was known for having like the longest living people. It was very common for people to live to be 100 years old before the Western world really introduced like McDonald's and everything else, because the people ate like very healthy diets of like just rice and fish. Mm-hmm. and then once McDonald's were introduced, like you saw like that the average lifespan met like the Western world and lifespan, you know, and they suddenly got the same sort of diseases and everything else that were common among and Western worlds, like hypertension, diabetes and everything else.
Yeah, that's wild. It happens. The Western diet is dog shit.
Be interesting to see that. Yeah, like they do that to Troi introducing the concept of chocolate to these people just like completely undoes their entire society.
So over with Worf, Byleth is being a fucking dickhead. So Worf says he'll get some more food. He goes and does an absolute butcher job on this roast. He cuts like the biggest piece off of all time, and he's not going to be able to eat it. No one's going to be able to cut through that. It's just egregious.
Yeah, he's so mad having to do like any sort of diplomatic thing, mm-hmm. which is so funny to me. Yeah. Which is funny because he later does become an ambassador.
Right. That's his job at the end of DS9. So Data comes over to Worf and asks how it's going. Worf says he's fine, but then relents and says that Byleth is demanding, temperamental, and rude. And Data says, Worf, you have those qualities in abundance. You should try to build on your similarities, which is a really fun little moment between these two. Between the autistic guy just not understanding what's acceptable to say and saying it. We love that.
But in a way, he's kind of... he's right. You know, he's right. Right, yeah.
Well, he's 100% right. So with Picard, he's in the shuttle headed towards the planet, and he's trying to make small talk, but his pilot... is not very personable. Suddenly, the ship shakes, and there's a system-wide power failure. The ship barrels towards an M-class planet and crash lands. The pilot is incapacitated, and the comms don't work. Picard uses a tricorder to find a structure 2 kilometers away and heads over there. As he's walking, he's struck by lightning, but then rescued by a mysterious figure. Sorry. How about... Mysterious figure! Up on the Enterprise, Worf is still showing Byleth around, and he's still being a dickhead. Meanwhile, Laquelle is still obsessed with desserts. Suddenly, he sees a child and goes and looks at him. He asks Troi about the child instead of his mother, who just stands there, like, letting this strange alien man, like, accost her child. It's very strange.
I can forgive that. I mean, I kind of see... You know, she probably deals with like curious aliens all the time. Like, yes, this is a child.
It's a human child. Yes.
It's a human child.
So, he says his people come out of the pod fully formed instead of as children. And then he asks the kid if he wants dessert. So they go to have some dessert. All right. This is groomer behavior, but whatever.
I am glad that the mom came along to really observe this.
Sure. Definitely the right decision for her. So on the planet, Picard wakes up injured with his module still attached, with a new module like attached to his ribs. His savior comes out and she tells him his pilot is dead. She cooks him something, and he asks if this is her ship. She says she was a passenger on the ship, and they crashed. She says her name is Anna, and she's been there for longer than she can even remember. She gives the crash date to Picard, and Picard says she's been stranded for 7 years now. She's like, what? I thought I was stranded for 1 or 2. Picard says they can use his shuttle to contact Starfleet and get rescued.
Feel like it's sort of like already a red flag. She can't tell the difference between 7 years and 1 and 2 years.
Yeah, but the sun doesn't come up on the planet and stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, like, you know, yeah, like, you know, they do have seen, like, people and who are deprived of sun and, like, any sort of, like, and any sort of, like, but I mean, then again, but she has, like, enough technology that can measure the passage of time.
You'd think she would.
Yeah, but I mean, again, this, like, obvious, you know,
she has these weird, quote unquote, medical devices and shit. And yeah.
Yeah, she has these things, but somehow can't tell the passage of time. Something, but, I mean, already it's like very
fishy
suspicious.
Over here. Something's fishy.
Yeah, it's very suspicious. Yeah.
So Picard tries to get up, but apparently he has 3 broken ribs. So he sends Anna to get some equipment from the ship, and she leaves. Up on Enterprise, Worf is saying that he will murder Byleth and requests reassignment, which is something I don't think you can say to, like, your boss, even. Like, Troy says it's time for Worf to set some boundaries. Riker suggests a game of poker to loosen them up, which is, like, just give the guy a reassignment. Come on.
It's also, yeah, that's a very, like, Riker solution.
Right.
How about we just go gamble?
Yeah. Like that? That'll solve everything, especially my gambling debt. So, down on the planet, Picard explores the ship he's in when Anna returns with the comm panel. But it looks like it was destroyed by a phaser blast when Anna cut it free. Anna says she doesn't want to be lonely, and then kisses Picard and says she loves him, while a dramatic musical cue plays. And this is like, damn, did like 7 years on this planet just give you like borderline personality disorder? Because that's like way too soon, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of seen that with people, like, you know, people who like who have been in like solitary confinement, like for, you know, especially in America where, you know, mm-hmm. people are in it for years in some cases. Like the first people they see typically you know are just like obsessed, like also like, well, you know, they don't even remember how to speak, but like they're suddenly very obsessed with how, like, looking at the person, like smelling them, touching them, and just like to be reacquainted, because you know, humans are very social creatures, you know, we're all monkeys. And so, like, you know, being deprived of that for a long time, you know, once we finally get it,
makes you nuts.
It makes you nuts. And we overcompensate for that absence.
That's why you got to get off the internet. Go touch grass.
Go touch grass.
Yeah. Listen to this podcast while touching grass. This is the grass touching Star Trek podcast. Unlike all the other ones, all of those folks are on the internet constantly, not touching grass. Or ass. We touch ass and grass.
Yeah. Gas, ass, grass.
No podcast for free. Yeah. There you go. So later, Anna comes back with some food, and Picard has removed a power cell to reactivate the shuttlecraft. She makes him promise to show her his spaceship. You know what she means.
Tell me about the waters of your world, Usul.
Oh, you know what she means by your spaceship. She wants to see that rocket. Oh, yeah. She wants to see that rocket, baby. Shoot with that parker rocket, baby.
Let me see your nacelle.
She reiterates her love for him, and he says she can't be in love since he's the first person she's seen in 7 years, and she's obviously confused. Probably correct.
Yeah. I do like how he handles it, like... Like, he kind of just ignores it the first time, just kind of like, okay. And then this time he's kind of like, all right, well, we have to establish some boundaries here because my ass is uncomfortable.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know, if he's stranded there, I mean, I don't know. Like, he could take advantage of the situation, but he's a better man than that. And he's like...
Yeah, he's a respectable guy. He's the most respectable person. Yeah.
I mean, he should have maybe put a disclaimer. He should have been like, listen, I would... under any other circumstances hit that raw. However, we are stranded here. I'm the first person you've seen in 7 years. Perhaps reacclimate yourself with some people and then meet me on Risa, baby. I'm gonna hit it raw.
Yeah, this rocky lightning planet really isn't doing it for me. Like, I'm not in the mood. Like, right. I got this thing attached to my side that really hurts, and your food sucks. So I am not really feeling it right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you just made me roots with root sauce. I'm sorry. It wasn't no ginseng to make you horny or nothing. It was root flavored. No, thank you. So, Upon Enterprise, Byleth is playing poker with the others, but he steals some of Worf's chips, and Worf accuses him of stealing, and he's like, I don't have any chips because you've been cheating the entire time, and they get into a big argument. After an argument, they get into a fist fight, and Worf beats the fucking shit out of Byleth.
Oh, yeah, he demolishes this dude.
This is like the only fight Worf wins in all of TNG.
And it's with a nerdy diplomat guy and Worf. And so that's why Worf is allowed to win. But this guy keeps Worf on his toes.
He does. He does.
Like, he does get a few good blows in. And I'm just like, come on, Worf, what are you doing?
Yeah, but, you know, Worf is not the greatest fighter in TNG.
No. Mm-hmm.
So, after the fist fight, Byleth gets up and, for some reason, thanks Worf for the demonstration and excuses himself to go document the experience.
He go masturbate.
That's what he means by documenting the experience. He's like, I'm gonna go reenact this on video naked.
I'm gonna try that if I'm ever getting beat up for any reason. I'll be like, thank you for that experience. I'm going to go document this.
Yeah.
And just see if that just stops them from beating me up.
You humans are so quizzical. I'm going to go document the experience of getting my shit pushed in.
Yeah, that was thrilling. Thank you so much.
I caught that fade from you, didn't I? Ho-ho! Human.
You know what?
Silly human.
You know what? I bet it'll work, honestly.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm gonna just starting fights and see if that works.
yeah, they'll be like, shit, I didn't know I gave him that bad of a head injury. Fuck, I'm sorry, dog. Fuck, I don't know, I hit that hard. Shit, I feel bad.
Damn,
motherfucker went alien. Sent that motherfucker to outer space. What if you got beat up? What do you think the most likely reason for you getting beat up would be?
I could see, yeah, just someone that's like really good at fighting.
That's it? It's just someone who's really good at fighting, like a karate guy just finds you on the street and beats you up?
Or you think like, oh, I think you, like, why I would lose? Or you think like, why someone would fight me?
Yeah, yeah, why would someone be beating the shit out of you?
Yeah, a lot of people find me grating.
Grating?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a reason to fight anybody.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I only get some emails about trying to fight you from the listeners, so not that many. I get a lot more asking for dick pics, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, hopefully no one fights me at Slut Trek if they come. That's a place for laughter.
Maybe that's what you, if you buy a ticket to Slut Trek, you can challenge Pat to a fight. I can't say that he will fight you. I don't have that agency, but I can say that you can challenge Pat to a fight. You have that ability. You have that
you
right.
You have that right.
You
yes.
have that right. Yeah. And you know, if you want me to hold Pat while you punch him, I do have that ability.
You do have that ability.
Yeah. So come on down to Somerville on May 25th and 26th to beat Pat.
Yep, 7 to 8, I think.
7 to 8.
I'm sorry, the doors open at.
Oh, 8. I was gonna say it better be longer than an hour.
Yes, it is.
I have an hour worth of material already.
we got all so much material. Yeah, let's see. Disc confirming. Yeah, doors at 7, show at 8.
Okay.
That's what I meant to say.
Cool. So, Byleth masturbates and comes back and he's like, do it again. Beat me again. I want to feel it again. I'm so horny.
If you
want to
hit
right
me,
now.
Just hit me.
I'm so horny. So, back on the planet, Picard gets the power cell working, but Anna says they can't go because of the plasma storms. And Picard is like, no, seriously, I fixed this. You should have said something about that earlier. What the fuck?
Yeah. Also, what was really funny was like this whole interaction was really reminding me of the movie Misery.
Yeah. Kathy Bates. Okay. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're totally right, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just like, you know, you've always been my favorite starship captain. we really needed this woman to just like break Picard's feet in half or something. Mm-hmm. Just like
So Picard removes his medical device, and guess what? He wasn't injured after all. No broken ribs. It was just he was doing kayfabe, like in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
He asks if Anna is trying to keep him captive. She admits to it and says she was afraid and did not want to leave him. She takes him to the ground and demands that he love her while kissing him in some attempted sexual assault in a way we don't really see in Star Trek.
Yeah.
But it's a woman, so...
But also, Rick Berman was like,
but it's hot. It's hot. We got to put it on screen. It's hot. I'm going to make a whole show about this called Voyager. It's hot.
Picard demands that Anna stop, and she runs out into the night, leaving her necklace behind and locking Picard in. Suddenly, Picard hears a man outside the ship, and it's his pilot, who Anna said was dead. But he's not dead. What you talking about? So the pilot says when his people are injured, they appear dead. Oh, okay, that explains everything. The pilot says he saw Anna heading towards a dangerous precipice, which is a great way to say cliff.
Yes.
They split up to go look for her. Picard finds Anna on the edge of a cliff and begs her to come down. He's like, "You don't want to do this. I will fuck you if it means that much to you." She threatens to jump unless Picard loves her. And he's like, "I don't know if it's love, but I'll do it. I'll stick it in." He notices that she's wearing the necklace, the one that she left around her neck, and tells her that she's been manipulating him. He's like, "I don't get it. What?" He asks how the pilot found him and how she got the necklace back. And then he dares her to jump. Pretty baller move.
Yeah.
But she reveals, "Hey, it's not Anna. It was never Anna. It's Vovol, the pilot from earlier." Dun 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 dun. Big twist. His mission was to study love and intimacy, and Picard's like, why would you do this? That's fucked up.
I'm kind of curious how far he was willing to take this experiment.
Right, like, he was willing to get fucked by Picard, I think, right?
Yeah.
Which is like, that's a weird thing. That's a weird thing to do as an ambassador, but I mean, I guess like, that's just like, I don't know. Like, the CIA does that with honeypots and shit all the time.
That's true.
I don't know.
I do like how, like, yeah, Picard was just like, "Well, where I'm from, this would actually be considered a crime."
Yeah. You know, it's like, "Oh, well, we considered research."
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to call it from now on. Like, when the cops finally catch me, I'm like, "I was doing research! How dare you?"
But I do like, it does explain why she was so awkward and weird, like, you know, like, whereas, like, you know, you could pass off like a lot of her behavior as isolation. It's actually, it's because it was like an alien trying to recreate that emotion that he doesn't understand.
Right. True.
And just like, yeah. And so like, that's where the awkwardness and weirdness came from. He's just like, you know, his understanding of these journals this woman left behind, like, "Oh, this is how people fall in love, so if I just do this,"
yeah,
without also, actually understanding the context.
Imagine if they chose, like, Riker to do this mission instead.
Oh, God. Dude. Riker would be on board, yeah, like, from
Vovol would be writing in his logs, "Day 45, Riker refuses to leave. All of my holes ache daily, hourly, by the minute. Please help." I reconstructed like a comms array to be rescued.
From the distance.
It's time again. Yeah. I know you're Vovol. I don't care.
God, yeah, he could have, like, Riker was right there. He could have been, if, like, Picard could have been like, "Number one, you go, you do this. I have to be on the ship," and then, yeah, that he was, that guy wouldn't even know what he was going to get involved with.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, he would get dicked out. Like,
yeah.
Just like
he would tap out. Maybe revealing my true form to him will make him stop. And Riker's just like, party on.
It's like, it's kind of like a threesome then, huh?
He's like, and go.
So, Vol said he, years ago, Volva, his name's Volva now.
Yeah.
He says, years ago, they found the freighter with a woman and a man who crash landed. Same story as Picard's. And she had written a bunch of journals, and, you know, they had, they'd surmised from that, that that's how people fall in love, is being crash landed together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I watch Lost, so that's kind of true, right? So Picard says in his culture, what they've done is a crime, but for now, they should just get off the planet and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
So back on Enterprise, Byleth thanks Worf for showing him 11 hours of combat on the holodeck, and you know exactly what that means. they were Minuet, the Minuet train. .exe is what they loaded up.
Well, that's the Klingon version of Minuet.
Yeah.
Just like fighting in a 11 hour battle. Like that's basically the Minuet program for a Klingon.
Yeah. Disgusting. Worf called it excruciating.
Which means he loved it.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, like, and I do like, yeah, after like he understood like his intentions, they just became the best friends.
Yeah.
I would have loved if they brought that character back for any reason.
Yeah, he'd be a fun, he's a fun pal for Worf, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, Worf doesn't pal around too much on TNG. He's more just like this outsider who talks to people, like Guinan sometimes. You know, sometimes Data, sometimes Riker, but not a whole lot of people.
Yeah, he's always just like depressed and being besieged by his loser son. He never gets to relax and just have a murder buddy.
Besieged by his loser son is the best way I've heard Worf described on TNG. It's not that he's a fucking deadbeat dad who, like, once the mother of the child dies, he's like, shit, can I send him to my parents? Like, he's a fucking loser deadbeat dad, but you're like, he's besieged by his loser son Alexander. Like, of course
we
he's
all
a
know
loser.
Alexander's
he's
got, a burden on
he's,
Worf.
He's got a deadbeat dad and a dead mom. Like, and like, he's being raised by two people who are just showing him Fiddler on the Roof and Les Mis every day. Like, of course he's gonna be a loser, just like Worf's a loser.
Like, that's true.
Worf's a loser too. He's also a Klingon weeb. Come on. So Laquelle thanks Troy for the desserts and gives her some Soylent, some of their people's food, and she's like, "Gee, thanks."
Yeah, she's like, after just eating nothing but dessert for this last few days, like, I'm gonna need this.
Yeah, he's like, it's called fiber. You might try it sometime. She's like, oh shit. Well, that'll be interesting. And she has a fucking blowout, and it shows it for the last 5 minutes of the episode. It's best 5 minutes of Trek, in my opinion. Just Troy, just brown water blasting out of her back end, just getting all over the toilet. Just, you know how it's just like spraying up over the toilet lips and like dripping down the side. Best,
it's very graphic.
Best,
thank you.
Best 5 minutes of TNG.
It's basically the scene from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah,
with
the
X-Lax.
Yeah, exactly. But it's, you know, it's like the Iarian X-Lax.
Oh yeah.
The RX-Lax. So Vol'Val thanks Picard, and he says he's never met a species so fucking extra. They say their goodbyes. End of episode. That's it.
Yeah, I like this episode. I mean, obviously it's not like, you know, one of the best.
No, it's kind of a mid episode. There's nothing like especially interesting about it. You know, I liked Anna. She was an interesting enough character, and as was both of the b- both of the, I mean, I guess all three of the ambassadors, but, you know, I really liked Byleth, and Worf's B-plot was pretty great.
Oh, yeah, like, there was a lot of excellent character moments in this one, and which is, like, I think we were talking at the beginning just how, like, with, like, a 10-episode run where you have to have, like, a singular narrative throughout, like, we miss out on episodes like this that mm-hmm. are just kind of, like, inconsequential standalone episodes that are just, that serve as character building and just right. like, and introduce a interesting concept. Oh, these aliens who don't understand human emotions mm-hmm. and go to extremes in order to understand them. Mm-hmm. Like, just like, really just like, they're just like fully throw themselves in, you know, and just like,
yeah, one of them was ready to get rawed out by Picard.
Like, yeah, he's just like, well, I'm gonna get fucked by this guy now. Yeah, just right? to understand the concept
like,
of love.
Yeah, what would God? Yeah, how would that have been? Like, because I assume they don't like have the same kind of reproduction as humans, and so like, if Picard's like, yes, Anna, let's fuck, she'd be like, oh yeah, definitely, and she just like, you know, opens up her like her armpit, and she's like, what you're not doing it, you're not doing the thing, and he's like, what yeah. is happening?
It's the alien species that have them on the kneecaps like yeah, in yeah, Star Trek 6.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, just, she just yeah, starts like rubbing her kneecaps real hard, and he's like, what is happening?
Or he's not even going to be even ready for that. Like, he's like, that's probably not something like that was expressly written down in the journal. So he probably has no idea.
That's true. Yeah. Unless like it's, oh yeah. Unless it's like a real steamy journal and like,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's not the grandmother's journal. I came here to study two things, love and this concept. I'm not sure what it is. It's called fuck. Like, yeah. Can you teach me fuck, Captain Picard?
I think, yeah, that's why Riker would have definitely said been a better suited for this. He'd be like, oh, I am more than happy to teach you. Yeah. He's just gonna,
I've read of this concept of sloppy. Can you demonstrate the sloppy for me?
Yeah. He'd be like, I think I've learned everything. Yeah, he just comes back as an expert. Volvo come back as an expert and just
I'm a sexpert. I know it all. Let me show you all the holes and what they do. Have you heard of this yeah. Jama Haron? Let me show you. Take off your pants and bend over.
The entire society collapses for one for just like nonstop chocolate replaces their food and
they just turn into like a chocolate orgy, a wet and messy like fucking chocolate syrup orgy on their planet. Just ensues.
And violence and just they come back, introduce chocolate violence and sex, and that just like makes their entire society collapse.
So it becomes the American South is what you're saying. Yeah, this is the Southeast basically. It's any Walmart parking lot you find in Georgia or Louisiana.
Yep.
Cool.
No, but I thought it was an excellent. I mean, I like this episode. I definitely appreciate it a lot more with, you know, especially with like just standard television. Mm-hmm. Like it's definitely like a relic of a bygone era of that sort of TV. Oh, yeah. And that sort of Trek.
It is definitely. It's a time capsule, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But still pretty good. I'd give it, I don't know, like probably like a 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's not great. There's, you know, it's a little bit better than mid, but it's still in the mid category.
Yeah,
it's, you know, there's nothing too memorable about it. I didn't remember this episode, to be honest. You know, nothing really comes back.
And then like it clicked in. I was mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, this one. But yeah, like yeah, because yeah, and then yeah, I was like, oh yeah, it's the misery episode.
Right.
But but yeah, I can see it yeah, being forgettable, but it's also just enjoyable. Like, yeah, it's just very pleasing to watch. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, we'll be, I guess by next week, we'll be doing Discovery, mm-hmm. doing the last season of Discovery. Are you going to try to watch season 4 before we start?
I'm going to binge it.
Yeah. I mean, it's only 10 hours. I mean.
Yeah. Only 10 hours. Jeez. Thanks. That's hopeful.
Yeah, that's hopeful at least.
I mean, only 10 hours in the next 4 days. That's only like watching a movie every day about maybe my least favorite Star Trek. This is,
No. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't season four was, for me, was, yeah, just not that great. I didn't get too much from it. I had some things that could be interesting just with, like, you know, communicating with, like, an alien, like an alien species. It has like a an arrival type moment.
Okay.
In it, that I thought was interesting, but yeah, a lot of it just, I got sick of hearing, like, them refer to, like, this alien species over and over. Yeah, it got very repetitive for me. So
yeah, David Cronenberg's in there though, so I'm looking forward to some Cronen.
Yeah, we love David Cronenberg. I'm hoping we get to see a lot of him in season five, however that goes.
Yeah, but you know, one good actor can't save a sinking ship. So hopefully they tie it up well. You know, I really like the first couple seasons. I feel like it's, you know, fallen off a little. I didn't really like season three at all. Season four, you know, it struggles to keep my attention. But hopefully I can get over that struggle and watch the whole thing so we can review season five well and objectively.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hard, because I think season one was good. Mm-hmm. Season two, you know, we had Pryke. So it was excellent. Pryke?
Pryke?
Yeah, Pyke.
Pyke.
Yes, Pyke was in season two, so that was really... he was the most enjoyable part for me in that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and... yeah, and it's hard to... I mean, it has its moments, but not my favorite. I mean, especially with Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks and...
Right. It has a lot of really healthy competition that's, like, doing really well and doing really interesting stuff. Prodigy, which I don't know if you heard, got released in France accidentally, kind of.
Really? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. It got released in France, so you can watch it in French on one of their streaming services, or I'm sure you can get a French download, but it's still going to be in French.
Yeah, if you have any sort of those region blockers or whatever, you can probably VPN, get it.
It's like, I don't know, it's on this weird French streaming service, so you got to sign up for that too. And then it's in French, so I'm gonna wait for the English version, like God intended it to, like Jesus intended.
Not gonna learn that foul language.
Oh fuck no, that's disgusting. It's a disgusting dirty language, and I say that as mostly French myself.
We're bad people. I definitely have the French in me as well. I mean, actually more than the Italian ones.
They're so sexy and good at getting in your pants. You got that French in you often.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They've left their DNA.
They have. All right. Well, that's a good place to wrap it up, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging with us, Soyagers. Be well, travel safe, and... I don't know. Liaisons is not highly recommended, but if you want on whatever episode to just throw on or something to fall asleep to, you could choose a lot worse.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Put it on. All right. Well, thanks for checking with the Soy Boys, Girls, and Woodly Beans.
Hang dong.
Hang dong.
And shockers.
Do the do, it's a hoop-de-doo. Come.